All right, it's time for Week 7 College Football Against the Spread picks. We're doing 20 games that are under the radar that we didn't talk about on the BetUS College Football Show. So let's go ahead and dive into it.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, I've got 20 games, and first off, let me go on and tell you, if you want to be a member, bettingcfb.com, that's where you get my early official plays. The plays on today's show are not official plays. This is just me telling you what I would do on these games and giving you my stat breakdowns. But bettingcfb.com is where you can actually get these sheets that you're going to see on the video. Of course, winningcureseverything.com. Subscribe if you haven't already done that. Like the video and subscribe to the podcast as well. You get stuff over there that you don't get over here. So subscribe to the pod, the YouTube, and bettingcfb.com. Of course, the BetUS College Football Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We do it every single week. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully, you'll join us over there. And in the middle of this thing, I'm going to tell you about Ticket Smarter and Ghost Leaves as well. So let's not waste a bunch of time. Let's go on and get into the first game. And, of course, our first game. That is not our first game. Boom. There we go. Write the times down, of course. We're going to start Friday. Northwestern heads to Maryland. Maryland, a 10.5-point home favorite. Total of 45.5 on this. Northwestern put up a pretty good fight against Indiana just last week, but the numbers here, I've got Maryland by 14 points. Based on the last 4 weeks up there, I've got Maryland by 17 points, so Maryland certainly surging at the right time. The offense for Maryland has appeared to pick up a little bit. They're number 24 in predicted points added per drive. Defense is questionable, but so long as you've got an average defense against this Northwestern offense, you should be okay. Northwestern number 133, that's next to last in all of FBS in predicted points added per pass. They pass it 54% of the time. Part of that is because they have been behind in some of these games, so you've had to throw it to be able to catch up. They're number 81 in PPA per rush, only running the ball 45.6% of the time, if you can see it there. Of course, rushing success rate number 77. This Maryland defense actually pretty good against the rush. They're not great against the pass, but they are certainly a better defense than Northwestern's passing offense. Northwestern, even when they do get down inside the opponent 40-yard line, they're number 115 in points per scoring opportunity. Excuse me. I don't see how Northwestern sticks around here. Maryland is peaking at the right time. We'll make this one easy. We're going to go with Maryland minus the 10.5. Next up, we've got UAB heading to Army. This one, of course, on Saturday. This will start our Saturday games. Army, a 25.5-point home favorite here, total of 54.5. And this spread has gone up from 23.5 up to 25.5, while the total has gone from 56.5 down to 54.5. UAB looks really, really bad right now. I think that's the easiest way to say that. Over the past 4 weeks, I've got Army by 27.8, so basically 4 touchdowns. And I have got, let's see, Army by 22.6 using full season stats. This Army team is so incredibly efficient. They are number 2 in success rate. number 17 passing success, number 1 in rushing success. They're number 4 in PPA per pass. Now, granted, they only throw the ball 11.2% of the time, but when they do it, they are really good at it. Bryson Daly is the quarterback there. He is fantastic. PPA per rush, Army is number 3. Now, on the other side, because I think that's the biggest thing, I don't think UAB is going to be able to stop Army. On the other side, on defense, Army is not great, right? You saw up here, defensive success rate, they're number 82. They're number 89 against the pass. But when you look at it, I mean, they're number 58 in PPA per pass. So passing success, et cetera, they're not great on that. People can move the ball between the 20s, but they can't actually score on this Army defense. UAB last year had a pretty good offense. This year, it hasn't exactly gone so well. Number 104 in predicted points added per pass. Number 94 in passing success rate. So they can't even move the ball between the 20s. And even when they do get down into scoring opportunities, points inside the opponent's 40-yard line, they're number 110, averaging just over a field goal there. Army is really good at defending that. They're number 5 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. You see things like the 5 factors plus talent rank. That is basically how efficient teams are and how talented they are. UAB is number 120 out of 134 teams. Army is number 37. So I don't think there's any way that you can bet UAB here. We'll make it easy. I'm going to go Army minus the 25.5. I know it's a lot, but that's the way that I'm going on that one. We go to the SEC, where Alabama is hosting South Carolina. Alabama just got beat last week in Nashville by Vanderbilt. South Carolina got handled by Ole Miss pretty good last week. This South Carolina team has been all over the place. They destroyed Kentucky 1 week. A lot of things go wrong when they lose to LSU at home. They get walloped by Ole Miss. Now they got to go against an Alabama team that might be pretty irritated. But Alabama's numbers have not exactly looked good over the past, certainly the last 6 quarters. They've given up almost 800 yards in the past 6 quarters. They only held the ball for 17 and change minutes against Vanderbilt. It just not good all around. Didn't look like they were prepared to play, but they are at home. The problem is that Alabama has to play Tennessee next week. So you would think this might be a look-ahead spot. Might not be, because they got beat last week. Based on the full season stats, I've got Alabama by 22.37. Based on the last 4 weeks, Alabama only by 10. Now, granted, Alabama has played Georgia since then, but current strength of schedule overall for the season, I've got Bama number 24 and South Carolina number 27. So these two teams have played pretty good competition as of late. You look into this, and certainly the strength of South Carolina's team is their defense. The offense is what should be able to take care of Bama's weakness, right? Bama's weakness is their defense. Certainly their secondary. Now, last week had a lot to do with being able to stop the run. They weren't great at that. They're number 22 in PPA per rush, or PPA allowed per rush. Number 31 in rushing success rate allowed. The issue is that South Carolina's not good at any of this on offense. They're not great at throwing the ball. If there's no real passing threat, if you can't hit the open receivers the same way that Diego Pavia did, then you're in trouble, right? So you look at this, and you got number 4 in 5 factors plus talent against number 45. Is South Carolina's defense going to be able to slow down this Alabama offense? And I don't think so. The number is 21.5. Look, I think South Carolina will be able to put up some points here. I don't expect a ton, but also think that they are going to be able to stop Alabama. And once Alabama gets out to a certain point, I don't think they're going to run it up. I think it's closer to the last 4-week stats. I could see like a 34-17 kind of game. So I'll take South Carolina plus the 21.5 on this one. We got an ACC tilt that over the past few years was actually a bigger game, because Wake Forest was actually pretty good back, you know, when Sam Howell was the quarterback. Now it's a little bit different. Wake Forest, a 20.5-point home dog as Clemson visits. Total is 60.5 on this. My full season stats have Clemson favored by 17.34. Over the past 4 weeks, this Clemson offense has just been unbelievable. I've got them favored by 35 in this spot. Pretty strange. Pretty strange, right? Big difference. Now, obviously, that takes out the Georgia game. But for Clemson, it also takes out the App State game, which would be a statistical monster for them. The Clemson defense has not been great, I would say. It's certainly against the pass. They're number 72 in predicted points added allowed per pass. They are number 60 in passing success rate. And teams are throwing the ball on Clemson 57% of the time. Now, part of that is because they are way, way up. If you look at their first half point margin, they're number 3 in the country. They are typically winning by 20.2 points at halftime. So teams are having to throw the ball a lot to be able to get back into the game. As far as Wake Forest is concerned, they are number 63 in PPA per pass, number 81 in passing success rate. They're actually pretty good running the ball, but they're not going to be able to do it on Clemson, I don't believe. Clemson number 38 in PPA allowed per rush. Wake Forest number 45 there. As far as when you get into scoring position, Clemson actually allows a lot of points when people get inside their 40-yard line. They're number 106, allowing 4.33 points per scoring opportunity. But Wake Forest is not very good at finishing drives. Number 78 in that same metric on offense. This Wake Forest defense, Clemson might put up a ton of points here. They didn't get to put up a bunch against Florida State last week because Florida State has athletes. But Wake Forest, number 127 in PPA allowed per pass, number 110 in predicted points added allowed per rush. It looks like Clemson's going to be able to stay ahead of the sticks. They'll be able to do whatever they want to on offense. Clemson is number 28 in points per scoring opportunity. Wake Forest is number 92. So Clemson will be able to finish drives here. Wake Forest, it's going to be a struggle on the offensive side. It's a lot of points, I know, and it is a road game in conference, but we're going to make this easy, really, really easy. Let's take Clemson minus 20.5. We head into a little ACC action as Georgia Tech goes to North Carolina. Georgia Tech currently a 5.5-point favorite. Total is 59.5. And good gracious, North Carolina has not been good as of late. I will certainly say that. All right, so looking at this, it'll be a kind of strength on strength here. The Georgia Tech defense, number 5 in predicted points added allowed per rush. North Carolina only number 69, but I think that all of you guys know what Hampton can do when he gets going. North Carolina's number 37 in offensive line yards, number 11 in stuff rate allowed. Georgia Tech is number 4 in both of those. So this Georgia Tech defense actually is pretty legit. The guy that they brought in, Tyler Santucci from Duke, he has done a pretty good job with this bunch. Now, what they can't do is defend the pass, but North Carolina has not been able to pass the ball. Max Johnson was their passing threat. He is not there. On the other side of the ball, Buster Faulkner is a genius at scheming things up. He's really good. And this North Carolina defense, not great. Remember, this is the Jeff Collins game. Jeff Collins going up against his former team here in Georgia Tech. You would think that he might know exactly what Brent Key would like to do in certain situations, but I don't think that he's had to deal with Buster Faulkner. Maybe I'm wrong. On defense, North Carolina number 73 in PPA allowed per pass. Georgia Tech is number 11. Now, they don't throw the ball very much, only about 46% of the time, but they are really good at it. Number 10, Haynes King has been awesome. Only number 9 in interceptions thrown per pass. That's a pretty good rate. Haynes King way better this year than they were last year. Now, they're not great at generating turnovers, as you see, number 128, but they are great at not giving the ball away. This is a short number, and I know it's on the road. I've got Georgia Tech minus 10.9. Full season, I've got Georgia Tech minus 2.87, but North Carolina has not covered a spread yet this season. I ain't jumping in front of that train. Give me Georgia Tech minus the 5.5 here. We'll make it easy. All right, right quick, let me tell you, please like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done that. Of course, don't forget about Three Dog Thursday. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do with that. TJ is in Tampa dealing with the hurricane, so don't know what we're doing with that just yet. But he's good. He has let everybody know that he's fine. We'll figure it out. But also, of course, all the other stuff. The BetUS College Football. If you want these sheets, by the way, bettingcfb.com, $5 a month, $50 for the year. A lot of bonus content and whatnot over there. We have a good time for sure. So let's get into the next game. And our next game here is, of course, our times. There we go. 13:39. Wisconsin heads to Rutgers. That's right, Big Ten bash on this one. Rutgers, a 2.5-point home favorite, total of 40.5. And, yeah, my numbers have Rutgers favored by 6 over the full season. Over the past 4 weeks, Wisconsin appears to have figured a few things out. It's got Wisconsin by almost 6 points based on the last 4 weeks. Now, some of that is Rutgers has played in some very difficult games over the past few weeks. Wisconsin got to play Purdue, right? So that's a pretty big part of this. I think Rutgers at home is pretty good. You start to look at some of these numbers here, especially on defense. The issue is that Wisconsin looks like they might be able to run the ball on Rutgers, but I don't think that Wisconsin's offensive line is that much better than Rutgers' defensive line. You start to look at stuff rate, Rutgers' defense, number 28, Wisconsin, number 15. Wisconsin is number 33 in offensive line yards. Rutgers is number 113. I had talked myself into the Scarlet Knights in this one. I think Wisconsin has a lot of confidence right now. I'm going to make a change on my pick right here. Now, remember, these are not the official plays. You get those at the BetUS College Football Show and, of course, bettingcfb.com, which you can find a link to in the description. But yeah, I'm going to take Wisconsin plus the 2.5. I think they are getting better. We'll see about that. But I think that Wisconsin is getting to be a little bit better. I think Braden Locke is somebody that's not going to give the ball away very much. Now, currently they are number 91 in giveaways per game, but I think they've been better about getting that buttoned up. He was not expected to be the starter. It took a little bit of time to get him rolling. We'll roll with that. Give me Wisconsin plus the 2.5. Northern Illinois goes to Bowling Green. Bowling Green, a 2.5-point home favorite, total of 47.5 here. And it's a MAC showdown. I've got Northern Illinois favored by 0.33 points on the full season. I've got Bowling Green favored by 1.9 points based on the last 4 weeks. Northern Illinois has dropped a little bit. They've not been great. They're number 56 in current strength of schedule, which is wild because they've played Notre Dame. Bowling Green has played Texas A&M and Penn State and looked pretty good against both of those. However, they did lose at home to Old Dominion not that long ago, so that's still something that's interesting. Not good for the win total, for sure. But looking at this, Bowling Green, their offensive success rate is number 66. Defensive success rate is number 42. They're number 59 in PPA per pass, which is they like to throw the ball more than they like to run it. Almost 56% of the time, which is number 34 in the country as far as their pass rate. You look at PPA per rush, they're number 67. They're not as good running the ball. On the other side, this is the issue that I've got here. Northern Illinois is number 27 in PPA per rush. They run the ball 63.7% of the time. That is a Thomas Hammock special. You look at what Bowling Green has been doing against the run. Now, granted, this is against Texas A&M and Penn State and whatever, but 114, PPA allowed per rush, number 76, rushing success rate, number 116 in rushing explosiveness allowed, number 129 offensive line yards allowed. Like, this is a problem. What I'm curious about is if that's just because they played against these bigger teams or not, because Northern Illinois has their Notre Dame game thrown in here. Bowling Green has Texas A&M and Penn State thrown in. So just looking at the rushing numbers alone, I kind of think that Northern Illinois is going to be able to cover this. I want Bowling Green to win, but I'll take Northern Illinois plus the 2.5 on this one. We got another ACC game here. Of course, Louisville headed to Virginia. Virginia, a 7.5-point home dog. Total of 54.5 here. And Virginia has been playing pretty well. Louisville's had some difficult games for sure. Virginia has played a, we'll call it an easier slate. I think that's the easiest way to put this. Virginia has played the current strength of schedule number 107 in the country. Louisville has played number 33. Of course, Louisville coming off of a loss. I think that they're pretty irritated that they let that SMU game get away from them. They were neck and neck right there, for sure. This Louisville defense, not good defending the pass, but that's okay because Virginia doesn't do it that much. They're number 88 in pass rate, 47% of the time. On their offensive snaps, they are throwing the ball. That's probably because they're number 118 in passing success rate, number 106 in passing explosiveness. But you might want to try it here against this Louisville defense. On the other side, this Louisville rushing defense, number 15 in predicted points added allowed per rush. Virginia's number 51 in that. Offensive line yards, it's pretty much a wash, 29 and 10 as far as offensive line yards and stuff rate. On the other side of the ball, Louisville is going to have a field day throwing the ball here. Number 21 PPA per pass. Virginia is number 80. That's a mismatch. That's a huge mismatch. I don't think Louisville is going to try and run the ball a ton. As far as when you get down into scoring position, right inside the opponent's 40-yard line, Louisville gets there number 26. It's 6.8 times per game. And they're number 53 in points per scoring opportunity. Virginia's defense is number 90 at allowing scoring opportunities per game and number 70 in points per allowed. That's not a good spot here. As far as Virginia goes, they're not able to capitalize when they do get in. They're able to move the ball between the 20s, but they can't score when they get down there. They're number 14 in scoring opportunities per game, but they are number 83 in points per scoring opportunity. Now, Louisville isn't the best at defending that, but they are pretty good at defending scoring opportunities per game. They don't let you get inside their 40 very often. When you do, you're able to put up points. Number 89 over there. This is an interesting game. My numbers have Louisville by 7.15 for the full season. Based on the last 4 weeks, it's only got Louisville minus 1.8. But because they lost last week, because I think there's still a huge talent discrepancy between Virginia and Louisville, I think Louisville is going to be able to cover this 7.5. So give me the Cards here, minus 7.5. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish are hosting the new ACC members, Stanford Cardinal. And this one right now, Notre Dame, a 23.5-point home favorite, total of 45.5. Now, typically, when you have a low total like that and a big spread, double-digit spread, typically that plays better to the underdog. However, if Ashton Daniels does not play in this game, I don't know how this line doesn't end up by 27 by Saturday. So let's take a look right now while we can take advantage of the number. Notre Dame, based on the last 4 weeks, they're playing really, really well. Would have them favored by 43.9 points just based on stat projections over the last 4 weeks. They've played the number 43 strength of schedule. Stanford has played the number 36. These Stanford numbers are just, I mean, they're not good. They're not good. And yet, this team is still 2-3. They got a good win at Syracuse, still the only blemish on Syracuse's record. But man, I don't know how this offense, even really with Ashton Daniels, how they score on Notre Dame. Notre Dame number 2 in PPA allowed per pass. They are number 54 in PPA allowed per rush. But when you look at Stanford, number 86 in PPA per rush, number 119 in PPA per pass, just not great stuff. And of course, the most damning thing of all, turnover margin. Stanford number 101. Notre Dame is number 35. Notre Dame does turn it over more than you would like. However, they do at least get some takeaways. They're number 22 in takeaways per game. Stanford is number 72 in takeaways per game. So even though they lose a lot, it is what it is. Notre Dame number 12 in PPA margin. Stanford number 111. Going to be mismatches all over the field here. Let's make it simple. I'm going to take Notre Dame to cover the 23.5 at home. We move into the Big Ten, and Purdue is visiting Illinois. Illinois, a 19.5-point home favorite. Total of 49.5 on this one. And look, my numbers right now over the past 4 weeks have Illinois as only an 8.5-point home favorite. Now, that is just raw stats is what it is. Over the full season, it's got Illinois by 17.87. But let me tell you, Purdue is not good. That showing against Wisconsin last week was a complete and total debacle. The Purdue defense, number 103 in PPA allowed per drive. Luke Altmyer and company are number 20 in PPA per pass. They should be able to take advantage of the Purdue secondary here. As far as running the ball, Illinois is not good at that, but that's okay because Purdue cannot defend it for nothing. I mean, they are really, really bad at it. I think that Illinois should be able to see some more success against them as opposed to what they were able to see against Nebraska and Penn State, which is why this number is only like 8 over the past 4 weeks, because Illinois has really stepped up in competition. Purdue, on the other hand, I mean, the past 4 weeks number doesn't even include the Notre Dame game. So this has been just a disaster for Purdue. They've got the talent. They're number 37 in 247's team talent composite ranking. Illinois is number 63. But the chemistry is not there. It is just, it is not good. I will say that. It is not good. The Purdue defense, you see this one little splotch of green here. They are number 21 in points allowed per scoring opportunity, in points per opportunity. The issue is that they never get down there on offense. They're number 127 in scoring opportunities per game. That's trips inside the opponent's 40-yard line. No. Like, there's nothing about this that would make me, even though the number says that Purdue should cover, there's no way that I could tell you that I would take Purdue here. So I will take, as long as this thing's under 3 touchdowns, I will take Illinois minus the 19.5 in this one. All right, right quick, let me tell you, tickets are ridiculously expensive for whatever big game you're trying to get into. This weekend, of course, you got Ohio State at Oregon. You got Red River. You got USC Penn State. You got Ole Miss going down to Baton Rouge. You got all kind of really big games. For the whole rest of the season, they're only going to get more expensive, right? Texas A&M hosting Texas? Tickets to get into that thing are like $550 right now for one ticket. And you know you're going to want to go with somebody else. So do yourself a favor. Go to TicketSmarter.com or use the TicketSmarter mobile app. Use the promo codes WCE10 to get $10 off an order of $100 or more, or WCE20 to get $20 off an order of $300 or more. That's the easiest way to do it. And it's not just a one-time thing. This is not a sign-up bonus or whatever. You can use the promo codes every single time you buy tickets. Concerts, shows, games, it doesn't matter. NBA, NHL, college football, NFL, it doesn't matter. They got tickets to everything. It's an incredibly trusted, secure, third-party ticketing vendor. TicketSmarter.com is where you need to be going. So again, the promo code is WCE10 or WCE20, and you can save some money. Think smarter with TicketSmarter.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Let's move back into the games here. Arizona goes to BYU, and this one is a Big 12 game, surprisingly. A couple years ago, this would have been Pac-12 versus an independent. I mean, it's chaos. It's absolute chaos. BYU is a 4.5-point home favorite as it sits right now, total of 48.5. And you start diving into some of these numbers, of course. The under kind of looks nice there. That's gone from 50.5 down to 48.5. I had it at 46.5 on this. I've got BYU favored by 7.72 for full game stats. I've got BYU minus 18 based on the last 4 weeks. Arizona did beat Utah in Salt Lake City last week. They came to play. The defense certainly came to play. Isaac Wilson, the backup quarterback for Utah, did not exactly play very well. And yet, I look at these numbers, and both teams are explosive. Arizona, number 8 in net explosiveness. BYU is number 10. So both are good at defending. Both are good at creating explosives. On the other side, of course, we're starting to look at, BYU's offense is not, we're not going to say they're great. Right? They're not awesome. They're number 78 in offensive success rate, number 85 in rushing success rate. So they're better at throwing the ball, number 30 in PPA per pass. Arizona's defense, number 42 in PPA allowed per pass. They're not great either. They're number 69 in defensive success rate. Here's where the battle is, and that is Arizona's offense, number 97 in offensive success rate against BYU, number 32 in defensive success rate allowed. Both of these, I mean, Arizona number 67, current strength of schedule, BYU number 53. It's a pretty tight game, but this thing is in Provo, and they are going to be psyched about this. BYU is 5-0, and they have covered the spread 5 straight games. Why is this number so low? Right? I know Arizona's got Noah Fifita. I know they got T-Mac. I know it, but I feel like because BYU's defense is so good against the pass, as you can see here, number 9 in PPA allowed per pass, the number 13 in passing success rate allowed, that is what Arizona has to have. And I think BYU's defense is going to be able to slow that down. Points per scoring opportunity, yeah, Arizona is able to get inside the 40 frequently on their opponents, number 44 with 6.4 drives that get inside the opponent 40 per game. They're only able to score 3.31 points per scoring opportunity. So the number 117. You start to look at point margin, there are number 77, Arizona is. BYU is number 22. 27 points per game from Arizona. That ain't going to cut it. BYU, crazy things happen here. Arizona is only 1-4 against the spread this year. I'm going to take BYU to cover that 4.5. We got an SEC showdown in Athens for our next one. Georgia hosting Mississippi State, and Georgia a 33.5-point home favorite, total of 53.5. This one opened at 53.5 for the total and opened as Georgia minus 34.5. Now, Mississippi State, they're not going to be able to do much in this game. They're not going to be able to slow down Georgia. It is what it is. But Georgia has Texas next week. And Mississippi State, since their starting quarterback got hurt, they have slowed the pace of their offense down. They were going really, really fast because they trusted Blake Shapen. Now, what's the kid's name? Von Buren? I think something like that. He's not great. And what they're doing now, they are now number 46 in offensive plays per game. Georgia already goes slow. Number 95 at 63.4 offensive snaps per game. You are going to see a really slowed down game. Texas did this against Mississippi State as well. You already know you can name your score. Texas beat them 31-13. I don't think they care anything about this game. They're not going to put anything on film. Georgia is not. This is a name your score kind of game. Basically, don't get anybody hurt because you know that you're not going to lose the game. I mean, this is cut and dry. I will take Mississippi State plus the 33.5 because I just think they're going to keep it within that number, based solely on the fact that Georgia is going to try and not get anybody hurt, and they're looking ahead to Texas next week. We move over to the AAC, and North Texas is heading down to FAU, Florida Atlantic, And the Owls are a 6.5-point home underdog, total of 59.5 on this one. You start looking at the numbers, North Texas minus 5.5 is what I have it on the season. And over the past 4 weeks, I've got North Texas minus 1.05, actually. This FAU team certainly is not great. But when you get into pace of play, all of that, then it kind of starts to make a little bit more sense. By the way, these numbers are opponent adjusted. And yet, FAU, number 112, current strength of schedule, and North Texas, number 113. So, the North Texas offense is fantastic, for sure. Yards per play margin, they are really, really good. Offensive success rate, they're number 67. FAU is number 93. But the issue is that North Texas likes to throw the football. 61.05% of the time, that's number 12 in the country. They throw it a lot. They're number 31 in PPA allowed per, or excuse me, in PPA per pass. That's predicted points added per pass. FAU is number 10. Now, granted, teams are not throwing the ball very much on FAU. As a matter of fact, only 29.2% of the time. But they are really good at defending it. And that's because people know they're good at defending it. So they're running the ball all the time. And FAU's defense is number 123 in PPA allowed per rush. The issue there is that North Texas is number 111. Eric Morris does not like to throw the football. Or sorry, does not like to run the football. They are number 123 in rush rate. So who is going to break, right? That's the question whenever North Texas has the ball. On the other side, FAU can't really score much. North Texas' defense is not great, but they're better than FAU's offense. Even still, this game is at home. There's weather concerns, et cetera. Who knows what's going on with the hurricane and whatnot as far as Florida Atlantic is concerned down in Boca. This feels like an FAU cover, right? It certainly the numbers would agree with that. I don't see a big enough advantage for North Texas. And when it comes to turnover margin, that's a big thing because FAU is number 11 in takeaways per game. North Texas number 72 in giveaways per game, and they don't exactly take the ball away from the opponent very much. So, yeah, I think that's the way that I'm going to go here. Give me FAU plus 6.5 at home for this one. Future Pac-12 matchup. Fresno State hosting Washington State, and Fresno a 3.5-point home dog here, total of 61.5 on it. My number is Washington State minus 3.3, so I'm right in line with the number. As far as the last 4 week stats, I would have Washington State minus 2.78, so pretty close to the number on that. Washington State, number 20, ESPN strength of record. Fresno is number 76 in that. Washington State just got pummeled by Boise State, just absolutely demolished. And it was not great. It was not nice. I guess you could say that. That would be the way to put it. Washington State, let's see. How many games have they played? All right, so they got smacked. They're coming off of a bye week here. So that's good for them. Fresno, on the other hand, is Fresno coming off a bye as well? They are. Both teams coming off a bye. No schedule spot here. So looking at the stats, Washington State is going to want to run the ball, I think. I think that's where they feel like they're going to have their biggest advantage. Maybe I'm incorrect. But Fresno, not very good on offense. Washington State, not very good on defense. Washington State, pretty good on offense. Number 43 in offensive success rate. Number 51 in predicted points added per drive. Well, Fresno is number 41 in defensive PPA allowed per drive. That's predicted points added, of course. And number 54 in defensive success rate. This feels like a stalemate. This feels like a field goal game. My numbers think that it should be within the 3.5. We're going to make it easy. Fresno plus 3.5 on this one for me. Of course, let me know in the comments. What do you guys think about this one? SEC battle in East Tennessee on this one. Tennessee hosting Florida. Tennessee currently a 15.5-point home favorite, total of 56.5. I remember a time in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, where this was the biggest game in the SEC conference calendar. It was huge. And now we have got a Florida team that is 3-2, 2-3 against the spread, and Tennessee is now 4-1. So it has been relegated to, I think, ESPN, something like that. But very few people will actually watch this because it's at the same time as Ohio State, Oregon, and whatever else is on in the night. Ole Miss and LSU. You get the point. All right. Let's talk. Tennessee, I've got them favored by 21.15 here. That's based on the full season. The last 2 weeks, they have not looked good. This PPA margin went from number one all the way down to number 11. They are number 59 in offensive predicted points added per drive right now. That ain't great at all. They are number 111 in passing explosiveness. They're still number 41 in PPA per pass, which Florida's defense is not great at defending, well, really anything. As you can see here, number 114 in defensive success rate, but Florida's offense, number 21 in offensive success rate. Tennessee, number 7 in defensive success rate, number 40 in offensive. The problem with the Tennessee offense, they are number 22 in PPA per rush, but they're number 80 in rushing success rate. So they don't pick up the amount of yards that they need. People know that they're running, so it is what it is. They're running the ball 56.54% of the time. That's number 30 in the country. That's a really high, like really heavy rushing rate. The offense is good, right? They're number 31 in offensive line yards, number 29 in stuff rate. Florida, number 99 and number 83 in those on defense. On the other side of the ball, Tennessee's defense, good against the run. Very good against the run. And Florida does a good job of balancing. They're number 65 in rush rate, which is dead middle. They're number 69 in pass rate. Really close to middle, right? So, Tennessee, good at stopping the run. They're number 6 in PPA allowed per rush. They're number 1 in rushing success rate allowed. I think that Florida would have more success passing on Tennessee than they will running. Now, obviously, you've still got to run to be able to draw the safeties up and whatnot. We get that. But I don't feel like this is a 15.5-point game. Maybe Tennessee turns it on this week and they've got something figured out, but they haven't looked right for several weeks now. I know it was a tough environment going to Arkansas, but this Florida offense, they don't get trips inside the 40 very often. They're number 89 in scoring opportunities per game, so that's trips inside the opponent 40. They're number 11 when they get inside the 40. They are averaging over 5.04 points per trip inside the opponent 40. Tennessee's defense is number 2. They don't let you get in the end zone. Defensive red zone conversion percentage, Tennessee is number 10. The touchdown rate, Tennessee is number 5. Now, part of that could be who they've actually played. We'll see. This feels like a closer game. Should be within 15.5 points. My last 4 weeks would actually have Florida favored in this spot because Tennessee has been so bad on offense against Oklahoma and Arkansas. Yeah, give me Florida plus the 15.5 here. I think that Billy Napier has found something that worked. This team is playing with a lot of confidence after that win against UCF. I'll take Florida plus 15.5. Right quick, of course. Do me a favor, go to ghostsleeves.com/WCE. The best kinesiology sleeves for aching joints, body pain, etc. These guys are fantastic. I've used them before, but go and check it out. ghostsleeves.com/WCE. Okay, let's keep the ball rolling. Of course, like the video, subscribe to the channel. And again, if you like these sheets that I have created, you can get them at bettingcfb.com. It's $5 a month, $50 for the year. We have a good time over there. It's a really fun community. So let's pull up the next game here. Da-da-da. There we go. Let's move to the Sun Belt. That's right. Arkansas State headed to Texas State. And Texas State Bobcats are a 14.5-point home favorite, total of 63.5 on this one. A lot of points. Whole lot of points. But man, Arkansas State's numbers are terrible. They had a really good win last week. But man, they've played Michigan. They played Iowa State. They've played some good competition. Texas State, Arizona State, right? Is what it is. Texas State has played the number 126 current strength of schedule. Arkansas State, number 57. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, Texas State would be favored by 25 just based on the statistical projections. My number on it is Texas State minus 16. This thing opened at 13.5. It's up to 14.5 now. It's going through that key number. These numbers almost don't even matter for Arkansas State. They didn't even play their starters, really, against Iowa State. They just went ahead and took them out and said, we're going to focus on this. Arkansas State had that good win against South Alabama last week. How good is South Alabama? There's so many questions. So many questions. Texas State plays fast. Number 14 in predicted points added. Number 14 in plays per game. What am I talking about? Too much going on. Arkansas State also likes to play fast on offense. They're number 17 in offensive plays per game. And when you've got something like that, this total was 63.5. And yeah, it's still sitting at 63.5. That's because the inefficiency from Arkansas State has made it where my projected total in this is like 52. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I think that Rager, the quarterback for Arkansas State, I think he's better than what we've seen thus far, because he's certainly better than 99th in PPA per pass, and they are certainly better at running the ball than what they've shown thus far. Texas State on the other side, really good throwing the ball. Number 15 in PPA per pass, number 5 in passing success rate. Arkansas State's defense is not good at defending it. Texas State is not good when they get inside the opponent 40-yard line. Number 5 in scoring opportunities per game on defense for Texas State. They are terrible when teams get down there. So Arkansas State should be able to finish some drives here against Texas State. I'll trust my stats here. I'm going to go Texas State. Yeah, it's a bit of a guess, because obviously the stats are interesting. Who knows what to make of these Arkansas State stats? Texas State, I don't think, has been that good. I mean, they got beat by Sam Houston, who is a good team, but I think Arkansas State is somewhat comparable. But Texas State at home, conference game, I think they're going to be fired up for this one. Give me Texas State minus the 14.5 here. All right, we move to a Mountain West versus Pac-12 game. We won't be seeing these next year, I don't guess. Oregon State is going to Nevada. Oregon State currently a 3.5-point road favorite, total of 47.5 on this. And you look at these numbers, I've got Oregon State by 4.7 on the full season over the past 4 weeks. I've got Oregon State minus 6.7. What Jeff Choate did when he came into Nevada was really smart and really interesting. He changed up the offense. They're running the Kansas system, and people didn't know what to do with it at first. Now people have started to catch on. This offense is still really good, number 33 in offensive predicted points added per drive. The defense, though, leaves a lot to be desired, and Oregon State is kind of clicking on offense, number 22 in offensive predicted points added per drive. This Oregon State defense is a little bit better than the Nevada defense. And I think that Oregon State's offense is better than Nevada's defense. Nevada's offense is better than Oregon State's defense. However, Oregon State's defense is not quite as bad as Nevada's, and Oregon State's offense is way better than Nevada's defense. So that should, I hope, make it a little bit easier. You should be able to figure that out by 67 for the PPA margin for Oregon State, number 78 for Nevada. Number 27 offensive success rate for Oregon State, and number 97 defensive success rate for Nevada. As far as the matchups go, you start looking at these, and Nevada will be able to run the ball on Oregon State's defense. On the other side, Oregon State is going to be able to run the ball on Nevada's defense, and I think at a much higher rate. Just a guess, obviously, because these are not my official picks. Go to bettingcfb.com for that, or the BetUS College Football Show. Anyway, I look at this, and I think that the market has caught up to Nevada. I'm going to take Oregon State to cover here. I think they are the more talented team. I think they are the better overall team right now. But Nevada's building something. I feel good about that for sure. So give me Oregon State minus 3.5. I think somebody rang up some more Sun Belt talk. Let's do Marshall at Georgia Southern. Marshall just beat the doors off of App State last week. They look good. They looked really good. What is Marshall's overall record right now? 3-2. They are 5-0 against the spread. On the other side, Georgia Southern, 3-2, and they are 4-1 against the spread. So these are two teams that the market has not quite caught up to yet, and that's okay. Marshall right now is a 2.5-point road favorite, total of 62.5 on this. And my numbers like Georgia Southern. I've got Georgia Southern favored by 2.63. Based on the last 4 weeks of projections, I've got Georgia Southern by 1.36. So, where are the mismatches? Well, Georgia Southern is a passing offense. They throw the ball over 56% of the time. That's number 29 in the country. Marshall is number 36 in PPA allowed per pass. Georgia Southern, while they throw it a lot, they're only number 77 in that metric. You start looking at passing success rate, et cetera. Georgia Southern ain't great, but they have been able to put up enough points to be able to cover, et cetera. They play a very uncomfortable style of football, which is why they are 4-1 against the spread so far. They don't turn the ball over. Neither of these teams do. Neither really gets a bunch of takeaways. Neither team super explosive. Georgia Southern is not great at defending explosive plays, so that's certainly something to pay attention to. You look at scoring opportunities per game, points per scoring opportunity. Georgia Southern, when they get inside the opponent 40-yard line, they're going to put up points. They are number 15 in points per scoring opportunity. Now, they only do it 5.8 drives per game, and Marshall can't stop it. So that's not a good thing. On the other side, Marshall not great at finishing drives. They're number 103 in points per scoring opportunity, and good old Georgia Southern can't stop it. So somebody's going to have to stop somebody somewhere. I think with this being a home game, Marshall, big win over App State last week. Georgia Southern, I think, feels good at home. The numbers certainly agree with it. Give me Georgia Southern plus 2.5. I think they will win the game outright down in Statesboro. All right, we got two more games. Let's go to the Big Ten on this one. And Minnesota is traveling to UCLA. UCLA, a 5.5-point home dog, total of 40.5 on this one. And my numbers pretty much align with that as far as the full season stats. You can see on the screen there, I've got Minnesota by 6.99, so basically a touchdown in this spot. This Minnesota defense is actually legit. Defense coordinator's name is Corey Heatherman. He replaced Joe Rossi pretty well thus far. They've done well against the pass, for sure. Against the run, maybe a little to be desired, number 71 in PPA allowed per rush. UCLA can do nothing on offense or defense. I mean, it's just, you see all the red on the screen. It is a disaster. Again, if you want to see the sheets, go to bettingcfb.com. Become a member over there, $5 a month, 50 for the year. So on this, my projected total is just a touch over the 40.5 that it opened. And it's still sitting at 40.5. I mean, you got to go Minnesota here, right? I know UCLA is 3-2 against the spread, but their advanced stats are just atrocious. UCLA, they're at least good at stopping the run, which is what Minnesota wants to do, except for the fact that Minnesota is number 45 in pass rate in the country. They're throwing the ball 54.28% of their offensive snaps. They're throwing the ball. They're not great at it. They're certainly better at running the ball. And Darius Taylor coming back, that certainly helps. I think Brosmer is going to have some success against this defense. That's number 111 in PPA allowed per pass, number 131 in passing success rate. I don't trust UCLA to do anything right now. So we'll make it easy. I'll take Minnesota minus the 5.5. I know they're traveling a long ways. I get it. But I still think this Minnesota team is rounding into form. I think P.J. Fleck has got them feeling good about themselves. It's a little bit of a letdown spot, but this thing is still under a touchdown. I'm okay with that. This team is playing really well. Minnesota minus 5.5 on this one. Last game of the day, we go to the Mountain West, and yes, we are seeing Boise State go down to Hawaii. And Boise, currently a 20.5-point road favorite, total of 60.5 on this. It's the Ashton Jeanty show for the Boise State Broncos. Their defense is not good. Number 104 in defensive predicted points added allowed per drive. Hawaii is just kind of middle of the road, whatever. The Boise State offense is just cooking. Number 5 in offensive PPA per drive. And that is because they are running the ball astronomically well. Number 2 in PPA per rush. They are number 14 in rushing success. Number 1 in rushing explosiveness. And unfortunately, Hawaii's defense is number 76 in rushing explosiveness allowed. They're number 74 in offensive line yards allowed. Number 76 in stuff rate. That ain't going to get it done here. Now, on the other side, the Boise State defense, like I said, is not very good. But that Hawaii offense isn't good enough to capitalize on what they are having an issue with. Boise's defense is not good at stopping the run. Number 115 in PPA allowed per rush. But Hawaii is number 78, and they only run the ball 33.85% of the time. So Hawaii is going to try and throw it, and they're only number 89. Well, that happens to be the strength of Boise's defense. Boise number 43 in havoc rate created. Hawaii's offense number 103. I know this one's on the island. I get it. But there's not exactly a home field advantage for Hawaii there. I mean, this is like a glorified high school football stadium. It may not even be glorified. It may just be a high school stadium. So I look at this, and yeah, my numbers have Boise minus 16 for the full season, but they have ramped up into form, and my last 4 weeks model has them favored by 26. I'm going to take Boise minus the 20.5. I think that they will come out and put up just a ton of points here. So I feel pretty good about this. Ashton Jeanty will run wild again, for sure. All right, so let's recap. Let's run our times down. And then we will recap what we have gotten. We fit that into an hour. That's pretty good. Recap on the day. I've got Maryland minus 10.5, Army minus 25.5, South Carolina plus 21.5, Clemson minus 20.5, Georgia Tech by 5.5, Wisconsin plus 2.5 at Rutgers. Northern Illinois plus 2.5. Louisville minus 7.5. Notre Dame minus 23.5. Illinois minus 19.5. BYU minus 4.5. Mississippi State plus 33.5. FAU plus 6.5. Fresno plus 3.5. Florida plus 15.5. And then we move back into some favorites. Texas State minus 14.5. We've got Oregon State minus 3.5. Georgia Southern plus 2.5. Minnesota minus 5.5, and Boise minus 20.5. That is going to wrap things up for this one. Go to winningcureseverything.com. Go to bettingcfb.com. Become a member over there. All these sheets that you saw on the show, if you like them, you can see them each and every week. I post them over there before I do anything with them, and it's for every single game that is lined as far as FBS versus FBS. So yeah, bettingcfb.com. Go check out the BetUS College Football Show. Of course, every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. You can click the link in the description for that one. And what else have we got? GhostSleeves.com/WCE. And, of course, TicketSmarter.com. Use the promo codes WCE10 and WCE20. Whew, what a day. What a day. 20 games. Jump in the comments. Let me know what you guys think about these games. I want to know your picks as well. I give mine out. You can give yours out as well. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter at GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me Gary@winningcureseverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.